Man, I was just standing over there listening to Pastor Nick share, and I'm just kind of overwhelmed with God's goodness. You ever just been overwhelmed with God's goodness? You ever just look around somewhere and go, I don't deserve to be here? Do you ever do that before? That's how I feel right now in this moment. Like every Sunday when I come here, I just look around at this beautiful church and these beautiful people. And I'm like, Lord, how did I get here? Like, how did I get here? How did I get to be a part of such a beautiful display of what it looks like to be a part of a family? And you know what? We don't have it all together and we're not perfect. If it's your first time here with us today and you are perfect, don't come back. You'll ruin it for the rest of us. All right, so we got all kind of issues, but you know what? We got all kind of issues together, and we're here together. And I just want you to know, I don't say this enough as your pastor. I love you, and it's an honor to get to be with you every single Sunday. And when you're in this room, like when you come into this room, you bring something with you. Like our worship services aren't the same if you aren't here. And like what we just got to experience over these last, you know, 20 to 25 minutes, that's significant. And it's significant that we get to do it together. And so sometimes y'all clap for me. I just want to clap for y'all. I'm so grateful for all of you, all right? You can join if you want, because that would make it even better. But man, I just feel overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Now look, if it's your first time, or maybe you have recently started attending, let me invite you to one more thing. I know we got a lot of things happening here in the life of our church. Next Sunday, immediately after this service, new to New Hope, it'll be about 45 minutes, free lunch. We'll sit at tables. We'll get to know each other. Our whole team will be there. It's a great step to take just to learn more about the life of our church. There's way too much happening around here for us to cover it on Sundays and our services. So we add environments like this from time to time. So we'd love to have you join us. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we look forward to that next Sunday. But for today, we are wrapping up our teaching series called Renew. The title of our message today is Renewed Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something that maybe you're new to church, new to Christianity, new to the Bible. It can be difficult to understand. How does the Trinity work? We've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And what role does the Holy Spirit play in our lives? And I'm hoping by the time we're done today, we have a really clear picture of what that is and how it can actually help us experience renewal. So let me take you to a foundational verse. It's Jesus talking to his disciples at the Last Supper in John chapter 16. When he told them this, they didn't understand the full context of it. We have a better view of it today. But Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I'm leaving. For if I do not leave, the helper, and the helper Jesus is talking about here is the Holy Spirit. The helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus tells the disciples, it's actually better for me to go and for the Holy Spirit, the helper, to come. And as I've been praying through this teaching series over the last several months, I kept kind of landing on something that I wanted to focus on that would help us experience renewal. And it was a number of different aspects when it comes to our spiritual growth. But really over the last couple of weeks, what the Lord did was clarify what we're really talking about here is the Holy Spirit. Like all of those different things can be traced back to the Holy Spirit. And so I decided through the help of the Holy Spirit to just give a message about being renewed through the Holy Spirit. And so there's 10 different things. I know I said 10. There's 10 different things that I think if we could learn about the Holy Spirit and put into practice, it'll actually help us experience renewal. So you got 10 things you got to fill out today. Are you ready? Okay. Does your pen work? Right. Make sure it works. If it doesn't, bar somebody's lipstick or something. I don't know, but you got to be able to write with something. All right. Or use it digitally, like Pastor Nick said. But at the end of this, you're going to see some ways. Okay, I understand this is what the Holy Spirit does. If I cooperate with this, it's going to help me experience renewal in my walk with the Lord. So let me give you the first thing, first role of the Holy Spirit that we're looking at today. The Holy Spirit provides conviction for salvation. We talk a lot about salvation, sometimes not as much about conviction. Let's see if we can merge those two together. Salvation occurs when someone recognizes their need for Jesus and asks Jesus to come into their life and to save them. But there's something that happens before that. And what happens before that is the Holy Spirit begins to move in someone's heart. The Holy Spirit begins to provide conviction among sin. See, if it were just up to us to figure out if we were sinning, we would never figure it out. We would just keep right on sinning. But God in his goodness sends the Holy Spirit sometimes to begin to work in us. And that's a really good prayer to pray for the people in your life who maybe they're far from God or they've never asked Jesus into their life. You just ask that the Holy Spirit would begin to provide some conviction in their life. Let's look at this passage that Jesus, again, back to the same conversation he's having with the disciples at the Last Supper. Look what he says about the Holy Spirit, John 16, verses 8 and 9. When he comes, he will prove to the world, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment about sin. So the Holy Spirit is what will help everybody see sin is actually wrong. It's wrong to continue to live in sin. This is what Jesus says the Holy Spirit is gonna do. Because ultimately, people don't believe in me. So it's a twofold working of the Holy Spirit, to convict us of sin, but then to also help us see Jesus for who he is. And maybe at some point in your life, it's good to ask the question, have I ever been convicted over sin? Is that something that I could say, yes, up until that point in my life, when I would sin, I didn't really feel that bad about it. It felt pretty normal, but then something happened and I began to feel the conviction. You're like, are you talking about a conscience? Not really, but God does work with that as well. We see that being mentioned in scripture also. But the conviction of the Holy Spirit to lead someone to salvation is the primary foundational role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, how do you know if this is happening? This is a question I ask sometimes when I'm talking to parents. They'll say, you know, I think my child is ready to ask Jesus to come into their heart and experience salvation. And I'll say, well, you know, what are some things you've been looking for? What are some conversations you've been having? And then they'll ask me, what are some things that you look for? And, you know, how do I really know? And that's a really good conversation to engage in if you're a parent with your child. It's also a really good reminder for why we put such a focus on proclaiming the gospel message to the next generation here at New Hope. Maybe you're new here. We're actually in the middle of a renovation project. We're renovating our entire kids ministry space from nursery to preschool through elementary. And the primary reason we're doing that is because we want to create some new ministry environments where we can proclaim the good news of the gospel message more clearly to kids in an age-appropriate way. So right now, kindergartners through fifth graders are all in the same room and someone is teaching them the good news of the gospel message. Now that's a little bit of a challenge to have that wide of a range of kids in the same room. When we finish and complete this project, we will have an environment for kindergartners, we'll have an environment for first through third graders, and we'll have an environment for fourth and fifth grade. And then our middle schoolers will be able to move back into the student ministry center. So if you can see all of that, every single Sunday in multiple environments, the gospel will be proclaimed and communicated to kids in a way where it makes sense to them. That's the primary reason why we are renovating this space. Many of you have already joined us in giving to help make that happen. We asked you back at the end of last year to complete a pledge form. We're calling this our Next 22 initiative, and a lot of y'all have already done that. If you haven't completed the pledge form, and what does that mean? What you're pledging to give each month towards the completion of this project. And it's not about the amount that you give. It's about being a part of what God is doing. Some of y'all started giving and you never filled out your pledge form, right? You're overachieving, okay? I want you to fill out the pledge form for a couple of reasons. The first reason is starting this week, I'm gonna be emailing a video update every single week moving forward to everybody that submitted one of those forms. So I got a tour of the space on Thursday afternoon and it's just now at a point where it's starting to take shape. So like a tour would actually make sense. You can begin to see kind of where these rooms are. So make sure you're on that list. You don't wanna miss those. But then also so we can continue to communicate with you with other updates. And then finally, we're gonna do something with that list at the end of this year. There's gonna be several retreats that get scheduled and we're gonna be discussing that beyond just this particular initiative. So there's a lot of things happening in the life of our church this year tied to that. So again, if you haven't completed that form, let me ask you to do so. But when it comes to looking for conviction of the Holy Spirit with kids, that matters when it comes to salvation. See, we believe that kids can ask Jesus to come into their heart and save them. I did that. I made that decision when I was a child. My parents, we prayed together. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. They then made me go meet with the pastor so to make sure I kind of understood what I was doing. It was a little intimidating, but it helped because my pastor's name was James Bond. It really was. Not many people can say they were baptized by James Bond. I was baptized by James Bond the very next week, okay? And it made sense to me, and I asked Jesus to come into my life. But a child can understand the story. Jesus came to earth, died for my sins, walked out of the tomb, and not have experienced conviction. So what I would say is when you're talking to your kids, see when there's a readiness where that conviction begins to settle in, not just knowledge of the story, but a realization of what the story means. Because see, when conviction sets into our hearts, here's what happens, whether you're a child or whether you're an adult. You recognize that Jesus didn't just die for the sins of the world, he died for your sins. He died for my sins. That child recognizes that it was his or her sin that put Jesus on the cross. The natural reaction to that is to experience conviction, repentance, and wanting to ask Jesus to come into our lives. And so these are all things that I want to encourage you to look for and maybe even to begin to recognize if it's happening in your own life, okay? So first thing the Holy Spirit does, let me give you the second one. The second one is continued conviction then in the life of a believer. And this would be a really good time for me to tell you, I'm not spending equal amount of time on all 10 of these points. Some of y'all are getting real nervous right there, right? Like he's only finished one. We got 9 more to go, okay? I'm gonna move a little faster through the others. After you've been convicted and you've asked Jesus to come into your life and to save you, you're going to still mess up. You're not gonna live perfectly. You're gonna sin, and when that happens, the Holy Spirit will bring that same conviction into your life so you can recognize that this sin has happened. Now, when that occurs, 1 John 1:9 tells us what to do. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So you're a Christ follower, your identity is in Christ, and you do something you're not supposed to do. You sin. Now, what a lot of Christians mistake conviction for is condemnation. So let's make sure we have an accurate understanding. When you sin, and you will, you're gonna mess up, Satan will try to condemn you for that sin. He'll try to bring condemnation into your life, condemnation into your mind. And he does so that you can experience guilt. So let's make sure we're tracking with his pattern. You sin, he brings about condemnation, hoping you will experience guilt. What does the Holy Spirit do? You sin, the Holy Spirit brings about conviction so you can experience freedom. Do you see the difference? Conviction's actually a wonderful thing. Conviction is the Holy Spirit's way of saying you don't have to be enslaved to that anymore. You can be freed from that. How do you free yourself from it? You just agree. That's what the word confess means in the New Testament. That I agree, if we confess our sins, I agree that's sin. I agree that I don't wanna go back to that. I agree that I wanna live a new way. I wanna repent from that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for convicting me so I can experience freedom. And if you'll begin to see conviction as a wonderful thing in your life and you lean into it, instead of trying to run away from it, you're gonna be renewed. And see, for a lot of Christ followers, this is something they've never thought through before. Because you see other people, maybe in your friend group, or you see other people that you know are really famous, some people who are super famous for sinning. You can get a lot of followers on social media by just sinning in very creative ways, okay? You can get paid money. Advertisers will give you all kinds of money to sin in ways that are really bad, that if I started describing, you would blush. Should I do it? I'm not, all right, but you would, okay? You're like, how could they live that way and just go on like nothing's happening? Because they're not experiencing the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you try one night of sinning and you're just all torn up inside. Why, Holy Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit convicting you. It's a wonderful thing when the Holy Spirit brings conviction into our lives so that we don't go to these things that lead us into destruction. Let me give you the third thing the Holy Spirit does. It helps us experience renewal. The Holy Spirit permanently indwells a believer. That's not a word we use a lot, indwell, but it's in the Bible and I think it's helpful because what it refers to, again, when you experience salvation, you give your life to Jesus, you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in you. The Holy Spirit permanently indwells you. Look at how the book of Ephesians describes this experience. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. You were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him, in Jesus, with a seal. What's the seal? The promised Holy Spirit. At the end of the day, the only thing that separates a Christ follower from someone who is not a Christ follower is whether or not the Holy Spirit resides in that person. That's it. that if you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in you. If someone's not a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is not in them. And the Holy Spirit does all of these remarkable things. Have you ever been, let's say like you're at lunch with some friends, you're a believer, you got the Holy Spirit in you, and you're sitting there and you're eating and they're not Christ followers. They know you're a Christian. I mean, you don't cram it down their throat, but they know kind of where you stand. And so you're sitting there eating and all of a sudden like one of them like, you know, drops an obscenity or tells like an inappropriate joke and they look at you and apologize. Oh man, I'm sorry, right? And you start to feel good about yourself. You're like, I must be doing a good job as a Christian. I got people apologizing for telling loud, dirty, nasty jokes at lunch and they're apologizing to me. I hate to break it to you, it ain't you. They apologized because they actually experienced some conviction from the Holy Spirit in you. Isn't that remarkable? The supernatural working through you while you're just eating chicken, okay? So this is what happens when the Holy Spirit indwells us. Like at all times, it can not only affect our lives, it can begin to affect the lives of others. And listen, when the Holy Spirit comes to seal you and indwell you when you've been born again, that never changes. There's a reason why it's called eternal life. You have eternal life for all of eternity, and the Holy Spirit is not going to leave you when you sin and when you mess up. But just for a second, there are a lot of people who have convinced themselves that they're Christians and they're not. There's a lot of people, maybe even some in this room today, that walked an aisle and think because they walked an aisle at a revival meeting and told the pastor or the preacher that they got saved, that means they're saved. That just might mean you walked an aisle. A lot of people who filled out a card. I filled out a card. That means I'm a Christian. It might mean you just filled out a card. A lot of people say, you don't understand, pastor, I got baptized. You might have just gotten wet. Baptism is the first step of obedience after someone has experienced salvation. Now, I'm not saying any of those things to sound judgmental or come down on you. I'm saying it because I love you. Scripture is very clear that on the day of judgment, there are going to be people who call out to Jesus by name, and Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Those of you who walked an aisle, signed a card, got wet at church, I never knew you. So here's my question for you. If you claim the name of Jesus, if you claim to be a Christ follower, do you know that the Holy Spirit's in your life? Because if you can live your life however you want, doing whatever you want, sinning however you want, making up your own spirituality however you want, you have cultivated and crafted a Christianity that does not match the New Testament. If the Holy Spirit has permanently indwelled you and taken up residence, the Holy Spirit does some things. We moved into a different residence this past summer. And when we moved into that residence, one room at a time, we began to decorate that room. When the Holy Spirit moves into you and takes up residence, he does the same thing in your life. He moves from one room to the next, taking over, doing a little redecorating, taking down some of your old habits and replacing them with new ones. And if that's not how you describe walking with Jesus as a Christ follower, might I suggest, lovingly, you never ask Jesus to come into your heart to begin with. But when you do, the Holy Spirit will indwell you. Let me give you the next thing the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit empowers a believer, empowers a believer. I think this might be the key way in today's message you can experience renewal. This is a different ministry than the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So you can have the Holy Spirit come to indwell you, and then there's a different empowerment, a different ministry of the Holy Spirit that can happen daily in your life. Sometimes we'll refer to it as an anointing that can happen in your life. I could have gone to a number of passages to illustrate this, but I chose one. Let me read it. We'll talk about the implications. Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Some of y'all need to get that like on one of those signs hanging in your living room. Right? That'd be really good for you, okay? Put it on the bumper sticker on your car, right? Instead, I'm gonna focus on the second part of the verse. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why would Paul tell a bunch of Christians who have already been filled with the Holy Spirit, they've already been had the Holy Spirit come to indwell them? Why would he tell them to be filled with the Spirit? This is where our English language lets us down. So the New Testament wasn't written in English. It was written in Koine Greek, and there's multiple words used to describe different things the Holy Spirit can do. This is a daily filling of the Holy Spirit that you can seek him for, a fresh empowerment. I pray this prayer every single morning. God, send me a fresh empowerment of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me in a new way. Because here's what I've learned. Yesterday's victories don't mean anything today. And if I rely on yesterday's victories for today's success, I've already set myself up for failure. God's mercies are new every day, but I won't experience them being new unless I'm empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to challenge you this week to just begin to pray that prayer every single day. Holy Spirit, would you empower me for today? Holy Spirit, would you fill me for today? Holy Spirit, I'm just going to be the vessel that I want to be used for God's purposes, but I'm going to let you do all the work. I want you to work through me. In fact, for some of you, the reason why this Christian walk continues to be so difficult is because you're trying to do it in your own effort. Some of you are trying to live the Christian life because you think that's what you're supposed to be doing. There's only one person who ever lived the Christian life. His name was Jesus, and you ain't him. The Christian life is one of perfection. God's not called you to live the Christian life. Here's what God's called you to. Make yourself available for him to supply you with the Holy Spirit so he can live the Christian life through you. See the difference? It's the difference between you doing things in your own strength and you allowing God to do things through you in his strength. Now, how does that happen? It's the helper. How does that happen? The advocate, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can empower you. Maybe you're in a significant season right now where you're staring down something that's difficult. Maybe you're a student and this semester, you know, it's gonna be difficult. You can ask God, God, would you give me a special Holy Spirit empowerment for this semester? I need it. Maybe you're in a difficult season at work. Maybe you're in a difficult season in your marriage. Whatever it is that you're facing right now, God can supply for you supernatural strength through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing, you've got to go to him and ask. You've got to go to him and ask. And I would encourage you to do that daily. It's going to help you experience a renewal in your walk with the Lord. And maybe the fifth thing the Holy Spirit does, bestow spiritual gifts. Bestow spiritual gifts to believers. Spiritual gifts, we don't choose them. God chooses them, the Holy Spirit distributes them, teaching, administration, leadership, mercy. There's a number of different spiritual gifts listed in the New Testament, but let me kind of give you a 30,000 foot perspective biblically from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's what it says. There's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I love the way that passage ends. So our spiritual gifts aren't given to us so that we can brag about them or celebrate them. They're actually given for the benefit of others, which means they're not accomplishing their purpose unless you're using them. Many of you use your spiritual gifts in remarkable ways. But for some of you, maybe you've tried that before, it didn't go well, or maybe this is new information. You're just recognizing, wait a second, like I have something that I could contribute. And let me just kind of say this. I hope this lands the right way. Sometimes in a church like ours, where I mean, I think we have a lot of people who do a lot of things really, really well. I mean, we have people who are incredible greeting. We have people who are incredible serving kids, incredible production, incredible worship team. It can give off the impression that we've got it covered and we don't need anybody else to do anything, okay? We don't ever want that to happen. We want everybody to feel like they have a place. And some of you have a gift and you're sitting on the sideline and we want to invite you into the game. Our church is not everything it can be unless you're using the gifts that God's given you. So don't ever think everything's covered, they don't need me. No, we want you to jump in and join the team and experience what happens when you get to use your gift. It's a joy. You get to make new friends as well, and it's a lot of fun. And if you're like, well, I'm not sure what gift I have, how am I supposed to figure that out? There's a number of ways, but here's the best way. Just start doing something. Just start doing something. And you'll figure out pretty quickly whether or not you're good at it or not, whether you like it or you don't. I mean, if you start serving in the student ministry and we give you a group of seventh graders, they'll let you know about week two whether you're good or not. They will let you know, okay? They're pretty straight shooters, all right? And so are we. So you can figure this out, but as you use your gifts, it's going to help you be renewed daily in your walk with the Lord. It's one of the key ways that we can experience that in our lives. Here's the sixth thing the Holy Spirit does. Help us experience renewal. The Holy Spirit helps each believer see how God is working. And for some of you, That's very needed because you're walking through something incredibly difficult right now. It's hard to continue to believe that God is good when you're walking through something difficult. It's hard to keep praying when God didn't answer the last prayer you offered to him. That's when it gets real. The Bible tells us that God's ways are not our ways. And that's one of the more difficult things about walking through life here on this earth. But see, I do believe that God wants to help us understand how he is at work in our lives. Look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. It's just a difficult passage to reconcile the implications with. And what it's simply saying is there will be some things in your life that will only be discerned through the Holy Spirit. Church, there will be some things that happen in our lives that we may not even be able to understand or discern this side of heaven because God is God and we're not. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't send you, what did Jesus call the Holy Spirit? A helper. And I believe that God does want you to be able to see how he is at work. And I do believe that the Holy Spirit can provide that type of discernment. And for some of you that are participating in the 21-day fast, that's what you're asking God for. You're asking God to help you discern what he's up to, because the best you can tell, you can't really make it out. And I want to encourage you to keep chasing after him and keep going after him and keep seeking his face and asking him to help you. But he's going to use the Holy Spirit to provide that discernment. I've walked through some seasons in my life, church, where I had no idea what God was up to. I've sat across the dinner table from my wife when she said, "What is God doing right now?" And I've had to look at her and say, "I don't know." I've had to answer those questions from my kids where they're wondering why God would let something happen. And I don't have a clear answer or verse for them. Why? Because I live this life one day at a time just like you. But can I tell you what's gotten me through those seasons every single time is continuing to worship God for who he is. See, if I only worship God when things make sense, I'm not worshiping God, I'm worshiping my own intellectual ability. See, if I only worship God when circumstances are going the way I want, I'm not worshiping God, I'm worshiping my ease of life. It's when we worship God in the valley, church, that God does some things. It's when we worship God when it doesn't make sense that in a supernatural way, he begins to bring about some Holy Spirit discernment. And oftentimes for me, that happens when I worship. Worship with God's people in a gathering like we are today. Worship by myself while I'm just driving and listening to some worship music in my truck. But these times have been significant markers in my life. So if you're walking through that right now, don't you stop worshiping. Don't you stop crying out to God and telling him how good he is. And you trust that in time, through the Holy Spirit, he will provide that discernment so that you can feel renewed. Let me give you the next thing the Holy Spirit does in our life. He provides comfort. When you walk through the difficult seasons, he provides comfort. When it doesn't make sense, he provides comfort. When you lose a loved one, he provides comfort. Jesus's presence is always with us, and it is expressed, felt, and understood through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16, Jesus says, "I'll ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever." Advocate, comforter, friend. These are the words that get translated from Jesus's favorite word, paraclete, is the word Jesus used in the Koine Greek. And it's an all-encompassing word of being a helper, comforter, advocate. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. And so if you're walking through something difficult, again, you can cry out to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, provide comfort for me. If you're in the middle of a difficult conversation, underneath your breath or in your own mind, Holy Spirit, could you bring comfort? If you can feel your level of anxiety beginning to grow, Holy Spirit, bring me comfort. This is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, available at all times. You don't have to be in a church building. You don't have to be with God's people. This is one of the things the Holy Spirit can do in your life. Let me give you the eighth thing the Holy Spirit does, is he provides guidance. He provides guidance. And somewhere, maybe in the margin of your notes, I want you to write, not certainty, guidance. So many times we go to God for guidance, but what we're really asking for is certainty. God, I want to know if I'm supposed to make this career move. So I need you to show me how it's all going to work out. And then I'll decide whether or not to make the career move. God says, doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. God, I'm not so sure if this is the person I'm supposed to spend the rest of my life with. If you'll just kind of make it clear, you know, if tonight while we're eating dinner, if they say hello three times, I'll know it's you. That's nowhere in the Bible, okay? Good luck with that plan. Like, we're asking God for certainty. He's never promised that he would give us. But what he has said he would give us is guidance with the Holy Spirit. If you start looking for this in the Bible, it'll blow your mind. Because people that we would think have abundant certainty in the Bible, they don't have it. Like, let me read you a few verses from Paul. He wrote more books in the New Testament than anyone else. And this verse encourages me because there's no certainty. Here's what Paul says. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. How'd you like to have that quiet time? Like, I'm Paul. I mean, you know, doesn't that ring a bell, Lord? I'm Paul. Can't you give me a little bit more information? Holy Spirit's like, no, I'm going to compel you to go to Jerusalem. I'm just not going to tell you what's going to happen once you get there. I hope that encourages you. I hope that encourages you. Because some of you think you missed God because you moved here for a job. And you're like, I don't think I'm supposed to be here. Maybe you were just compelled by the Spirit and he just didn't tell you what was going to happen once you got here. You're actually doing it right. That should make you feel better. The Holy Spirit provides guidance, not certainty. It's like if you were hiking at night in the fog on a trail, which if you do that, you're weird, all right? But if you do that and you've got a flashlight, all you can see is about a few more feet in front of you. That's about as far as you can go. That's a pretty good picture of what it looks like to walk by faith. You just keep going. He's gonna guide you one step at a time. He's not gonna give you certainty. And he's going to guide you in accordance with God's word. The Holy Spirit's never gonna guide you in a way that leads you into sin. I mean, you don't get to make up your own rules and say, well, this is what the Holy Spirit told me. No, that's just, I mean, the Holy Spirit's gonna tell you what's in God's word. You know why? It's the Holy Spirit that wrote the Bible. You're not gonna trick him. Men wrote the Bible inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the mechanism through which God's word was received and penned on paper for us to read all these years later. But the Holy Spirit wants to guide you. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you daily. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you in the big things. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you in the small things. And so you ask for that Holy Spirit insight. But remember, he's not promised to give you certainty. I mean, the ninth thing the Holy Spirit does, he brings unity to God's people. Unity to God's people. So let's read the passage. It's a little longer. Hang with me. We're going to talk about this for a second. Philippians 2, 1 and 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ. So foundationally, church, we're united with Christ. If any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. So as a church, we are unified through Jesus Christ. That unity gets expressed through us as his people submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit guide us in unity in our thoughts, in unity in our love. And we've already mentioned it and celebrated it today, but just let me share a few words about Martin Luther King weekend and kind of growing up where I grew up. I used to think I grew up in the South, and then I realized in North Carolina and Virginia, it's called the Deep South. So I grew up in the Deep South in Georgia, and racism was all around me growing up. I was fortunate to grow up in a home where we were just taught from a very early age a lot of what we saw in God's word from Revelation earlier, that being a Christ follower means that we're actually joined with people, and God's incredibly creative with how he created people, and differences aren't something to be feared. And so I'm really grateful for that upbringing and grateful for a church that celebrated that. But, you know, growing up in the South, you know, you just see some things and experience some things. And boy, I'm not going to say this right. So y'all give me a little bit of grace here. it bothered me growing up in church. I loved growing up in church, but it bothered me that it didn't seem like that was something that the church really wanted to lean into and offer some guidance on. And I grew up in a predominantly white church, and I just wondered, like, you know, at some point, surely that'll be one of the applications in a message, and it just never came. I don't think it's because I grew up in a church where leadership was racist. I think I grew up in a church where leadership didn't recognize that was something that needed to be clarified from the New Testament as well. It was kind of like, we'll just leave that application on the shelf because we don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. We don't want to say anything in the pulpit that might make someone uncomfortable. But I love when Pastor Nick shared earlier from letter from a Birmingham jail, that part of what we've been called to is bring a little discomfort to some situations sometimes when they're not what they should be. And one of the things that I love about New Hope is a lot of people for many, many years have worked to create unity. They've worked to celebrate diversity. And it's something that, you know, as we look around this room, we can certainly celebrate that today. I mean, we can recognize that, yes, there's diversity. And yes, we're grateful for that. And yes, we're unified. But listen to me, church, don't let what we've accomplished so far lull us into being lazy when it comes to that. There's still work to be done. There's still work to be done. And a weekend like this is an opportunity for Christ followers to acknowledge that and lead the way. And I love the fact that it was a pastor who led the way. I love the fact that while white churches like I grew up in were kind of ignoring this, the traditional black church didn't. And Dr. King spoke up and said, "What I see in the Jim Crow South is not reflected in what the New Testament says life should be like." And he spoke up, and it cost him his life. And so all these years later, which, oh, by the way, isn't really all of these years later. It wasn't that long ago. There's still work to be done. And church, I do believe it is one of the things that gives us the greatest opportunity to be a witness in our community. That in every other walk of life, differences create dissension, differences create division. When you come through the doors of New Hope Church, we don't ask you to check your differences at the door. We want to learn from one another. I want to learn from some of you who grew up very differently than me. I want to learn what it means to bear one another's burdens, even if they're not the burdens I've experienced. That's part of what it means to be a Christ follower. But as we stay unified in the midst of our differences, that looks different to a world. That looks different to people who at their office and in their neighborhood and in other settings, those differences create division. And so I'm grateful that we have unity. But listen, church, unless those of us who call New Hope home continue to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit, being guided by the Holy Spirit, that won't be something that continues moving forward. Because in case no one's told you, when you're in a church with a lot of differences and a lot of people who have different backgrounds, from time to time, somebody is gonna step in it. They're gonna say something the wrong way. They are. I might have even just done it in the last 5 minutes. Somebody like, yep, sure did. Okay, I might have, I don't know. What do you do when that happens? You submit to the Holy Spirit. You put your arm around your brother or sister and say, hey, let's talk. I love that about our church, but this is my way of saying, hey, New Hope, let's keep going forward. Let's keep modeling the way. Let's not have a generation of kids grow up in a church where these things weren't talked about. Let's not have a generation of kids that grew up in a church where they didn't see godly men and women modeling for them what this looked like. Is that something you guys are cool with, dedicating yourselves to moving forward? Good. Last role, the Holy Spirit. He makes everything about Jesus. He makes everything about Jesus. If you want to know if somebody's in tune with the Holy Spirit, don't listen for how much they talk about the Holy Spirit. Listen for how much they talk about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is like a spotlight that shines on Jesus. The Holy Spirit takes focus that comes towards him and shifts focus towards Jesus. Let me give you one verse that helps us understand this. John 16:14. We're in the same conversation Jesus is having with his disciples. Look what he says about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So it's from me, he'll receive what he's gonna make known to you. We've come full circle now on this message. How does he make it known to you? Through that initial conviction, leading you to salvation, leading you to understand who Jesus is. He said, well, why would the Holy Spirit shine light on Jesus? Why would the Holy Spirit make much of Jesus? Because it's Jesus who went to the cross in your place. It's Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Philippians 2 says, therefore, God gave Jesus a name that is above all names. Why? Because it's at the name of Jesus that every tongue will confess and every knee will bow, declaring that Jesus is the Lord. And for some of you right now in this moment, you are experiencing the conviction of the Holy Spirit pointing you to Jesus. You've recognized in our time together today that you know all the stories and maybe you've even been to church a few times, but you've never come to a place in your life where you could take me to. You say, I could take you. Maybe you don't know the exact day, but you can't take me to a place in your life where you say, I asked Jesus to come into my life and save me. This is the Holy Spirit's way right now of bringing that to mind, of enlightening you, of helping you see. You've never done that before. And I prayed for you this morning. I prayed for your day of salvation because I've just seen the Holy Spirit do it too many times when God's word's proclaimed. And for some of you right now, that's what you're experiencing. Don't you walk out of this room without giving your life to Jesus. You're not promised tomorrow. How good of God in his kindness to convict you right now of your need of a savior. You say, well, there's some things I don't know about God yet. I'm not ready to make that decision. If you understand you're a sinner and you understand Jesus paid the price for your sin and you understand Jesus is alive and he wants to save you, give you eternal life, promise you a new home in heaven forever, you know enough. Are you being convicted by the Holy Spirit? Some of you are Christ followers. The Holy Spirit indwells you, but you're experiencing that conviction as well. That it's time to move from the things that continue to hold you back and experience a freedom that can be found as the Holy Spirit convicts and you confess. Would you bow your heads with me just for a few minutes and then we're done. Those of you in this room right now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. Today is your day of salvation, but you've got to be the one to respond. It's a decision no one can make for you. You've got to make it yourself. And if that's where you are right now, just the best way you know how, where you're seated, would you say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. But I believe you died on the cross for my sin. And I believe you walked out of the tomb and you're alive. And I'm asking you to come into my life and save me. And from this day forward, my life is yours. You're my Savior and my Lord. If you just prayed that prayer, everybody's heads are bowed, their eyes are still closed, but I sure would love to pray for you this week. If you just prayed that prayer, would you mind slipping your hand up just real quick, just so I can see it, so I can pray for you this week? Thank you. Just wanna pray for you this week. Thank you. Thank you. All over the room. Today is your day of salvation. Hey, if you made that decision, please don't leave without telling someone today. Come down front at the end. Talk to someone on our prayer team. Talk to one of our pastors in the lobby. We'd love to walk with you, journey with you in this newfound faith you have, this new life you have in Christ. So God, as we come to you now, wrapping up this time in prayer, we just say thank you for your goodness to pour out your spirit, your goodness to send your son, your goodness to provide salvation for us. God, as we worship your son, Jesus, during this time of response, would you pour out your spirit in this place? As we lift high the name of Jesus, would you pour down your spirit? Would you speak to us as a loving father, speaking to us as your children? God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our time. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.